Friends, graduation season is upon us. And that got me to thinking about the truth that no matter what age you are, we are all engaged in school. We're in a school that we're never going to get out of, one that we're going to remain in all the days of our lives. And that school is the school of life. Now, in the school of life, you can fail, but you can never drop out. All over the world today, people are wondering, where is this world headed? It seems like wherever you go, people are ever learning, yet never able to come to the knowledge of truth. It seems as if this world is like two trains headed toward each other on the same track. Many people today are in despair. Many people believe the world is on a collision course with disaster. Seems that every day there is a new surge of problems that our affluency has created. Psychologists, economists, clergy, politicians are dealing with social and moral problems on a scale that we have never had to deal with before. And I believe that the price that we're paying for this new idealism of build back better the world over has brought about issues the likes of which we never thought we would have to deal with in our lifetimes. The border crisis, the opioid fentanyl crisis, drug addiction, alcoholism, critical race theory, the LGBTQIA+ agenda. Do you realize what all of this has created in our world? Suicide is at an all-time high. It's the highest it's ever been. We thought we had the race problem settled, but the racial tensions in America let us know that we do not have the race problem settled. The pandemic brought out riots, murders, and mayhem in the streets, the likes of which we never thought we would ever see in this great nation we call America. We are living in a time when the tensions of this nation are so palpable, are as palpable as it was before the Civil War. No wonder the psalmist wrote, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Can I ask you this morning, have you ever felt that way? How many of you have ever thought, boy, if I could just fly away and rest? Thousands of people are trying to get from whatever their circumstances might be. They're looking just for rest, period. They think they're going to find it somewhere, but everywhere they are turning, they are finding no rest, and no matter what they're looking for, they're not finding it, because the real thing that people are searching for today is God. Be finding in your Bibles this morning Matthew chapter 11, if you're not there already, the 28th verse. And when you have found it, if you would please rise as we honor our Father with the reading of His holy word. Now the word of God says this, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you," what, church? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, Father, this morning as we gather around the Word, you have asked us to do one thing, and I pray that every one of us has come to church this morning with a quality that is sadly missing throughout this world today, and that is a teachable spirit. Oh Lord, may our hearts be teachable, that we might learn of you, that we might grow in you, that you might have your will and your way in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. you may be seated. Now, the real thing that people are searching for is God. It is only in God that you're going to find your rest. And we were created in the image of God, and brothers and sisters, without God, our hearts are restless till our hearts come to rest in God. Understand this, no person is ever going to find true rest until they come to know God. If you want to find peace with God, if you want rest in your heart, rest in your soul, you need to come to God. Many people today are searching, but they're finding no peace. They're finding no rest simply because they have not yet come to God. And like the psalmist who was looking to escape, that's the heart cry of our world today. And it may be the cry of your heart right now. Like the psalmist, you could be here this morning and you might be saying in your heart, I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. The Bible teaches, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. In other words, the Bible teaches there's no way out. People are looking for a way out today, and they're not finding it. Jesus said, I am the way out. He said, there's only one way to escape. There is only one way out. And you have to come by way of the cross. And you have to come by way of the empty tomb. You have to come by way of the resurrected Savior. And it is then that you'll find reconciliation with God. Then that you'll find the peace and the joy in your heart that you've never had or that you may have lost. As a matter of fact, if you're here and you've not come to Christ, you're never going to find peace and joy in your heart until you come to Christ. And so I ask, how many of you are here this morning who are trying to escape? How many of you are looking for somewhere to escape all the rigors of life, but you haven't found it yet? You've not found the joy, the peace that you thought you'd find. You don't have that sense of fulfillment. You don't have the answer to the questions, where did you come from? What is life all about? Where am I going when I die? And the only way to find those answers is by coming to Jesus Christ. Now you've got your Bible open, I hope, and I want you to focus on those three words that Jesus said, learn of me. It's the picture of Jesus Christ as the great professor at this school that we call life. The Bible says that he was the greatest teacher that ever was. The Bible says he taught them as one having authority. In other words, he spoke with authority. You will never find Jesus ever speaking, saying, well, you know, I hope this is the way. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many ways of life that seem right, but the Bible teaches that the end is death, destruction, judgment, and hell. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the what, church? Now, most of the world would agree. Even those who are completely and utterly lost, they will agree with you that Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And so this morning, what we want to do is sit at the feet of Jesus, the great teacher, and for just a few moments, understand that in most colleges and universities, they have what they call required courses and elective courses. And in the school of life, we have required courses and elective courses. Oh, what are they? Well, I want you to know there are three required courses and there are three elective courses from which you can choose, and the first required course is life itself. Philosophy means the study of life and ideas concerning life. And back in the 1970s, how many of you were born before the 1970s? Raise your hand. Oh, I feel sorry for you who weren't born before the 70s. But back in the 1970s, there was a book that was published entitled The Philosophers. And it was a survey of the most influential philosophers of the Western world, and they were psychoanalyzed to the amount of fulfillment that they themselves enjoyed. And do you know what that book demonstrated? That all 20 of them were characterized by loneliness and anxiety. Now, friends, here's something you may not know, but I want you to know. You did not choose to be born. No one consulted you about living. And there's nothing you can do to stop living. We did not choose where to be born. You didn't get to choose your mama or your daddy. None of us did. We didn't get to choose what color of skin we'd come into this world with. We didn't get to choose the country where we'd live or the county. And isn't Russell County a wonderful place to live? Amen. Oh, you can do better than that. Oh, you can do even better than that. I mean, I come from Western New York, and I can tell you, Russell County is the best place on earth to live. And I'll shout it, amen. I can't understand why anybody wants to live in Western New York. But anyway, there's no escape in life. Now, someone, some smart aleck or some person might say, well, I can commit suicide. That doesn't get you out of life. While it's true that you can kill your body, you cannot kill your soul or your spirit, because they are eternal and they live on. So you cannot escape by suicide. Suicide does not end at all, as people think. Friend, the creator of life, and God created you, the creator of life has ordained that when you are born, you are going to live, and you are going to live forever. You are required to live. Whether in the body or out of the body, you are required to live. Well, let me ask you, how do you face life? What sources do you have to call upon when the pressures get great and the crises and the difficulties come? What do you have to call upon? What are you leaning on? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have anything to worry about. As Brother Marty reminds us all the time, when you know Jesus Christ, say it with me, it's going to be all right. Oh, how, that's the greatest sermon I ever heard. When Jesus Christ lives in your heart, He gives you great inward peace, great inward joy, great inward assurance. He brings a sense of safety and well-being when you are in Christ. When you are in Christ, it affects you physically, it affects you emotionally, it affects you mentally, it affects you socially in every way. Every phase of your life is affected by Jesus Christ. When you're in Jesus Christ dominates your life because you let Him come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. Well, that's the first required course, life itself. The second required course is you're required to die. Now, there's been a lot of studies on death throughout the years. All over the country, there have been books written about death and students in classes studying death. But George Bernard Shaw said there's one statistic that we can be sure of, and everybody in the gambling business ought to hear this. They are the odds at which no gambler can win. One out of every one dies. Friend, it's a sure thing. God said to Hezekiah, "Thou shalt die." The Bible teaches it is appointed unto man once to die. The Bible teaches there's a time to be born, a time to die. The number of years is simply relative. The fact is, we all die. And the Bible teaches there's a day, there's an hour, there's a minute already appointed for your death. Now, it may be tonight. Might be tomorrow morning. Maybe next year. But understand this. There is a day. There is a minute. There is a second. It is already appointed. One of my brothers has hurt his leg, and he said, "You know, I was doing good till the last step." And isn't that the truth? It's always the last one that gets us. There's a time appointed. And the Bible teaches, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." There is a time appointed beyond which you cannot live. And God is giving you right now this moment of grace to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the reason the Bible always says, today, today, today. Tomorrow, that's the devil's excuse. Today is the day of salvation. Come while you can. Come while you can. The Bible teaches, don't put it off. And I cannot tell you the number of people who I have preached to through these 27 years who are always putting it off. They'll come up to me after church and say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I knew I should have come forward this morning, but I just wasn't quite ready yet." When are you going to get ready? What's going to be different next week? Do it now. Come while you can, because you're presuming upon grace, and you cannot presume upon grace because you might not be here next week, so you need to come now. There's only one man in history who did not have to die, and his name was Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me," speaking of his life, "but I lay it down of myself." I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus Christ was perfect. Jesus Christ was free from sin and error and its effects, and yet he died on the cross. When you look up at this cross, it's not just an emblem. Yeah, the song says it's the emblem of suffering and shame, but when I see that cross, I see my Savior there. What do you see when you see the cross? He died for you. And he died for me. He took the things that caused death in our lives and on the cross in our place. God, the Bible teaches, laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so you need to come and you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You need to make him your Lord. You need to make him your Savior. And when you do that, God says, "I forgive you." Think of that. Doesn't matter what you've done. And listen, we've all done, I'm looking for a word, we've all done some foolish things. Let's use it right there. And God says, it doesn't matter how dumb you've been. Doesn't matter how foolish you've been. Doesn't matter the pit that you find yourself in. Just reach up and take my hand, because I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to put your feet on a solid rock. I'm going to put a new song in your mouth. I'm going to tell you that I love you, and I'm going to write your name down in the book of life. Oh, how great to know that your name is written in that book of life. Amen. Jesus Christ died and he rose again. He's alive right now, and the Bible teaches that who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you know what justification means? Just as if I never sinned. You know, I was reading this week, and I just love to read, and I was reading about how all over the world they're trying to raise ships that have sunk, trying to bring out all the treasures those ships hold. All over the world today, if you're listening, people are talking about trying to raise something up, trying to bring something back. But the Bible teaches there's a time coming when there's going to be a general resurrection, when all of those that are lost are going to be raised, and all of those that are saved are going to be raised. And Jesus Christ died on our account on the cross, and He was raised again that we might live forever with Him. You know, that's living proof. When I look at that cross, Jesus isn't there. Because he was there, but he died, he was buried, and he was raised again. And that cross says there's living proof that there is a Savior. There's living proof that Jesus Christ is coming again. That cross is living proof that there's going to be a resurrection someday. And oh, what a day that's going to be. And think of it, Jesus Christ came back from the dead to tell us there's more. Do you realize this isn't all there is? There's more. Hallelujah, there's more, there's more, there's more. Do you want to know why heaven's going to last for eternity? Because it's going to take that long for Jesus to show us all He's done on our behalf. There's more to come. The song says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? He's a living Savior. Friend, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know I can face it because I got Jesus with me. What about you? The Bible teaches that the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. Are you ready for death? Now think about that. And ask yourself, are you really ready for death? Oh, I hope you are. And there's the third thing, the third required course. And the third required course is the judgment of God. You're going to face the judgment. Someday you're going to give a moral accounting. The searching eyes of God will miss nothing in that day when you stand before Him. The Bible teaches, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every sinner is going to have to stand before God and give an account of their life. Every idle word, the Bible teaches, that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. And this is what Jesus said about that coming day of judgment. And if you're listening, say amen. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now you could have been baptized. You could be on a church membership roll. You may have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but like so many others, you have fallen away from Jesus Christ, and you need to return to Him. Some have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they need to come to Him today. You know something else that's sad? Some come and sit in church Sunday after Sunday. Your name is on the church roll, but you never really knew Jesus Christ. You just don't know Him. Many people, either in a vacation Bible school or in a church service or a revival service, at some point they prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ, but they've never really lived for Jesus Christ. They live just for themselves. They've never given a thought to grow in Jesus Christ. They've never even darkened the door of a church again. Can I ask you a question? Think about how many people you've seen in your lifetime who came to a church service like this. They came forward, they prayed to receive Christ, and then you never saw them again. How many people in your lifetime have you seen do something like that? The reality is, they need to come to Jesus Christ. They need to receive Jesus Christ in their heart. Now, those are the required courses in life. You cannot be unborn. You're required to die. You're required to face the judgment. Now, there's certain electives in the school of life. And the first elective is you can choose your own way of life. Joshua, if you remember from last week, stated, "Choose you this day." And by the way, that's what God would say to you this morning. Choose you this day. There's a way that seems right. Now, what are some of those roads that seem right? There's the lust of the eye. The Bible talks about possessions. It seems that many people today are trying to get all they can all they get, and sit on the can. There's nothing wrong with that, it seems. But when your life is centered on the physical acquisition of possessions, then the lust of the eyes has gotten the best of you, and friend, that's sin. It seems right, but it's wrong. And then there's the lust of the flesh. Those are the physical things which offer by way of luxury and entertainment. Some are selling their soul for sinful pleasure today. The wrong use of the internet, wrong use of sex, excessive use of alcohol, drugs, and much more that time doesn't permit me to mention this morning. And the Bible teaches, 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Then there's also the pride of life, and that seems right. Ego, position, getting the best, self-interest. But that's the wrong road. Now, we ought to think something of ourselves. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love our enemies, and you cannot love your neighbor. You cannot be a true Christian without having a certain respect for yourself. There is a certain love of self that we ought to have, but not this egocentric thing that so many have, because that's the very heart of sin, is selfishness. The very heart of sin is ego. And when you come to Jesus Christ, your ego has to be surrendered to Jesus Christ until he becomes the Lord of your life. And then there's a second elective. You can choose who will be the master of your life. Can I ask you, what's going to master your life? What's mastering your life right now? What philosophy are you giving your life to? What are you living for? What group are you going to give your life to? Are you going to control your own life and make a wreck of it? The Bible teaches that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you know as well as I do, by nature, we want to run our own lives, don't we? Now, that's a good place for amen, so just say amen. By nature, we want to run our own lives because we think we know better even than God knows. But God has a plan for your life, and God's plan is perfect for your life. For every person here, God has a plan. He has the right person picked out for you to marry if you only trust him to help you if you're unmarried. He has the right job for you. He has the right vocation for you. It's all planned. If you'll say, "Lord, thy will be done," and surrender to him and let him become involved in all the affairs of your life. Perhaps you're here and your life is a mess and sin scars are all over your face. I've seen people with sin-scarred faces. As a matter of fact, every time you look at your pastor's face, you see a sin-scarred face because sin leaves its mark on us all. But God can forgive all that. Hallelujah. He can take all the mess we've made of our lives. He can straighten it out and get us back on the right road if only we will trust Him. Now, there's not a soul here who has not made a mistake, is there? Whew. I was a little worried on that one this morning. Friends, we all know you can't unscramble eggs, can you? But you can start from right where you are right now by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ right where you are. He'll forgive your past. He'll give you a whole new spiritual life. He'll give you the love and the joy and the peace that is everlasting. And don't let the devil worry you about past sins once you've given your heart to the Lord. And then the last elective. You get to choose your own destination. The destination is heaven or hell. And the Bible teaches, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What gate are you at right now? Now, these are the required courses. These are the elective courses we must take and choose in a school of life. Now, let me ask you, do you have peace with God? Perhaps you're wondering, what do you do to make peace with God? Three things very quickly. The Bible teaches first we must repent. Repentance means that you're willing to let God change your life. It means you're willing to give up everything and simply turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And second, you come by faith. And you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else. You put your confidence in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. And you come with a childlike faith. And then you must be willing, third, to become a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, we all need to get to the point where we can say, if Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice that I can make for Him can be too great. Jim Elliot, who was killed by the Aka Indians in South America, as a young student, wrote this: "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I ask you in love this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? You say, why do you ask me if He's my Lord? Because a lot of people want a Savior. They just don't want a Lord. Jesus can't be divided. He is Lord and Savior. And you've got to be willing to surrender your life to Him. You've got to be willing to let Him sit on the throne of your heart. You've got to be willing to allow Him to direct your steps. And so I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ this morning? If you're here this morning and you never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to come to Him, and you need to do it now, because the Bible says now. And friend, this may be the closest you ever get to God. There may never be a time like this in your life when the Holy Spirit of God is pounding on the door of your heart so hard you think your heart's going to burst. But you know, there's also Christians. I'm talking about people who are saved. But they're not living for God right now. Something else has taken over their heart. And what you need to do is to Repent of that thing. You need to give your heart back to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. You need to get on the right road with Him again. Here's what I know as I close. Every one of us is capable of messing up. Amen? But up there in heaven is a Savior, and He can fix up anything we mess up. He can take that mess and turn it into solid gold. He can take that sin and all that darkness and that sickly stain, and He can make it whole, white and clean. As Marty and Liza come, I'm going to ask you one more time, do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord and your Savior? Father, we thank You for Your word unto us today. We pray Your mercies be upon us as we have listened. Lord, we know that Your word never goes out void. It always seeks to find a lodging. May our hearts be soft and pliable, that Your word has found a lodging in our heart today. Lord, may we respond as we stand to sing. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother Marty, would you lead us?